Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by the actor, comedian, prankster, Simon Brodkin.
Yeah, a marked man.
He is, yeah. He's doing his tour Troublemaker, where he tells some of those stories of getting backstage at Glastonbury and throwing money at Sepp Blatter. He was on good form. Rick Riley joined us, one of my favourite sports writers. He's a fantastic author and journalist. His new book is called So Help Me Golf. He told us a few of the stories from
golf
that.
Golf tales, yeah, lovely.
Graham Budd Auctioneers. Yes. Join us, Graham Budd himself, to tell us about an iconic football shirt that's coming up for sale and whether the Maradona shirt has made a difference to the pricing.
Is it Jamie Reid's National League South?
I don't think it was. I think it might be slightly more coveted than that. I know it's hard to believe.
Can't believe
it. We had a bit of a chat about all sorts of things.
Yeah, of
Charlie
course.
Sang. Can't stop him, can you? So anyway, here it all is. This is Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker with you through until four here on TalkSport, where this afternoon I'm looking forward to the commentary of Leeds playing it round at the back when they're 3-0 up against Chelsea tomorrow.
Yeah,
lovely. To Gandhi, back to Ali, to Teresa, to Jordan, back to Gandhi. Fired that one into the right channel. It's never going to happen, is it?
Tough tackling.
Ted Lasso.
Coming up over the next 3 hours, we'll chat to a Liverpool fan. Aren't we all Liverpool fans, apparently?
We are.
All
yeah,
of us, isn't it,
Paul?
The whole
fans.
Media, everybody. Yeah. Ahead of tonight's game against Villa, and talking of Villa, Father Brown actor Mark Williams tells us about a new documentary on their team of the 80s, and could little R. Broth be on the cusp of glory?
It's a brilliant story. We're also spotting sponsored cars, looking for alternative ways for the title to be decided, and asking for your examples of very basic advice.
Yes, there's all this, plus we'll go e-scooter racing as Anthony Joshua launches his own team, chat to Sepp Blatter's favourite comedian Simon Brodkin, and as another iconic football shirt goes under the hammer, we'll discover if Steve Hodge has inflated the market.
It would be great, wouldn't it, if Sepp Blatter started to go to all Simon's gigs. We'll ask him about that.
Heckling him at the back.
Not funny.
Heard it.
Yeah. Do you have any new material? Be great, wouldn't it? Just heckling constantly.
Again.
Yeah. Not that one again. Be great, wouldn't it? Great.
Sepp Blatter becomes the massive heckler.
Yeah, that's right. Simon said, I wish I'd never thrown that money in the air. He's ruining the tour.
Tell us one we haven't heard.
Yeah, that's it. What heckle do you get, Charlie? Is there one that keeps coming back?
No,
can you say it this time of day?
No, I just get Susan Boyle or...
So what, with that beard?
Yeah, not with the beard. Well, even more so with the beard.
I'm not giving you that.
It was
tapping.
Too easy.
Anyway, it's 8 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie. Susan Boyle. I've never seen the resemblance before, but do you know what?
Now we're here.
Yeah.
You never know,
okay.
Do you, Paul? You know.
So,
there we are.
How are you?
Barry from EastEnders, Susan Boyle, and Jack Black, of course, the three I get.
Okay, so, nice.
Mike Myers, that's the other lookalike that I get as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, Barry from EastEnders and Susan Boyle are the main two. So there we are.
Yeah.
Went to see Cabaret Saturday night, Paul.
Oh,
I know it's not sport.
Good,
I know it's not sport based, but I'll get round to it.
It's supposed to be good, isn't it?
It's expensive, Paul. But yes, it is good.
Like, don't you get fed as well?
You do, but it was
It's like an immersive experience.
Well, yeah, you meant to, Paul. Yeah, you meant to, but we left too late. We left too. It was my wife's birthday and we left the house too late. Not my fault. I'm just going to say, Paul, fault. We left the house too late and we ended up having to go in a little bit late.
Oh, that's not good,
is it? In our expensive seats.
When it's when basically the audience are part of the show, yeah. It's not like you can just creep in with someone with a torch and a waistcoat on. It's proper.
It wasn't very anonymous, Paul.
Yeah. Well, you weren't front row, were you?
No, we were fourth row, Paul.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, we got there late. So we weren't allowed in for the first song, which is, of course, Velkommen,
oh, yeah.
Bienvenu. No, which is the one everybody... Yeah. Oh, Cabaret, you know, the
no
main one.
No one cares about that one. Who wants to hear, who wants to hear that completely set the scene for the next 2.5 hours?
Exactly.
Who
you know, that? Really sort of give you the basis of what you're about to see. Yeah. You know? So got there late and we had to watch, we had to stand outside the auditorium.
Did one of the staff do it for you? Give you the full Joel Grey? Wouldn't it be great?
Just
because
one of the
it's
front
a pretty
of house.
Good chance most of the ushers
and out of work actors. Yeah.
Thinking, if you like, I'll basically, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's even worse than that. We had to stand outside and watch it on a telly.
Oh, okay.
So it was going on.
Yeah.
About 4 foot away, but we had to watch it on a telly. So I did think we could do
today.
Nice
if they'd put you just in a little booth allowing you to say, what use is sitting alone in this room?
Yeah, it's not bad. I went to the FA Cup semi-final as well.
Oh, wow.
And some people sat in the bar in Wembley and watched the match in the second half.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I did think we could do. When did you just, were you there, but you watched it on the telly?
You there, but you weren't there.
You were there, but you watched it on
the
telly.
I mentioned before, Spurs Forest in a League Cup, huge League Cup semi-final years ago, I seem to remember. And Forest in their pomp in the Roy Keane years. Yeah. And we had some great ding-dongs with them. And I looked up one of the executive boxes, and there was a bunch of people, and I think, were they watching a replay? They were watching Corey. Great, isn't it?
Lovely, isn't it?
Didn't want to watch the match. Sandwich Brigade. I think that's what kicked off Roy with his hatred of executive boxes.
I can imagine, yeah. So there we are. When were you there, but you weren't there?
There when you were. They were there when you weren't there. Also, alternative ways to finish the title. Every year when two teams are kind of quite tight vying for the title, we get this same story. And it's understandable because, you know, we have to face up to the prospect, however unlikely it is. Manchester City and Liverpool, Martin Lipton tells us in the Sun, that they could clash in a Premier title decider just 3 days before the Champions League final. Top flight rules allow a playoff to decide the champions if sides are level on points, goal difference, goals scored and head-to-head results. And that is that's unlikely to happen.
Very unlikely.
I don't know what the odds are. We'll ask Paddy Power. So I thought there must be a better way to decide it than the two teams having a playoff, you know, because they've played enough football. They're flogged as
they've
it
done for, we know what these two teams have got.
Yeah. Maybe it just, I mean, you've got Pep and you've got Jurgen. Maybe we can have a quiz. We can have a great Britain quiz.
But who's going to set
who's going to set
the quz poll? Because people will say, oh, it's biased.
Especially as we're all Liverpool fans. That's the trouble, isn't it?
Every single one of us.
So alternative ways to decide it. You thought choosing five legends would be a bad idea.
You don't choose them.
Oh, okay.
It's the top five alive greatest goal scorers for your club. Whoever the top five is, they have to turn up.
They have to play.
I don't know if it's penalties or, maybe it's five-a-side or that one where you have to run.
Rushy would have to turn up.
Where you have to run from the halfway line or whatever, you know, that one, maybe that one, you know. Yeah. Rushy would be there. I don't know who the rest are.
Sergio Aguero, that's pushing it a bit, though. He's recently retired. But anyway, alternative ways, let your imagination run wild. If it came down to whether it's the players, whether it's the two managers, but Liverpool and Manchester United have said, we're not playing any more football. We've had enough. We're definitely not playing any more. So you're going to have to find another way to decide this. So, you let them know this afternoon. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. When were you there? When were you weren't there? When Charlotte was giving us the news earlier on, of course, we had the Queen's speech earlier on, we got a sort of feel of the sort of pomp and circumstance when we heard the trumpets. How tempting is it for those trumpeters to go into the Rocky thing? You're just thinking. Just think if they would just decide. That would be great.
Everyone would enjoy it more, Paul, wouldn't it?
If they just did a medley of hits with bugles.
Or go into Glad All Over or something, all the Zed Cars.
Do you play the bugle?
I can play the trumpet, yes, Paul. Badly, but I can play it.
But there is a difference between a bugle and a trumpet.
Yeah, a bugle has no vowels.
Exactly. So, I mean, how limiting is just being a bugle player as opposed to a trumpet player?
Yeah, you sort of got the.
Do you play jazz bugle?
You've got the last post. You've got the last post and that, and that's about it.
So it's all basically the notes change.
What you've got in your... And you've got, that's what you've got there.
Fantastic. D and G. Okay.
There we are. D&G's. Well, our producer has a music degree.
Do you play the bugle then? The producer plays the bugle. Yeah, Charlie Baker. I feel strangely left out.
I should have brought in some bugles.
So could you play jazz?
And had a bugle.
Could you play jazz bugle? The trumpet gives you a bit more.
Probably can't even do that. You need a minor key in there.
Let's have some bugle players.
If anyone wants to call us and play their bugle down the phone,
if you've got a bugle at home this afternoon, you want to give us a few tunes. Let's see the limit of your bugle play, or anybody's bugle playing, with the two notes that you have.
Show us what you can play.
Any status quo, could you?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is the song that Arbroath come out to.
Okay.
Yeah, we were asking, weren't we, earlier on, Scott Lorimer, about that, because Arbroath are in the Championship playoff.
Yeah.
And like that.
It's not what I was expecting.
What are you expecting?
I don't know.
Are the pipes something in there?
Is here the chorus?
Yeah, of course.
Here we are. It's like he's falling off a cliff. Bro.
I like it, Charlie. not your version. I like the version.
It's got a good beat.
Yeah, it has got a good beat, as your old dad probably would have said. Yeah. Anyway, coming up in the second hour of the show, Mark Williams joins us next week on BT Sport, another one of their excellent sports documentaries. Mark is a big Villa fan, so he was the perfect choice to narrate the Super Villains documentary marking the 40th anniversary of them becoming champions of Europe. It is quite the story, down to Nigel Spink, the keeper, having to go in after a few minutes of the game. The manager, Tony Barton, Ron Saunders, they winning the title the year before. It's an amazing story.
Good story, a
great time for them. So we'll be chatting to Mark about that a little bit later on.
Mark's had an incredible career as well, hasn't he, as well? Think of him doing things like The Far Show, but also he's in Harry Potter. Father Brown is on, is it?
Father Brown, huge show, massive show. Simon Brodkin joins us. We'll get you involved in various bits and pieces as well, as always. You've already been responding today. Charlie went to see Cabaret at the weekend. Mm. Got there a bit late and had to watch the first number, quite important, outside on a telly because they wouldn't let him in. And so Charlie wanted to know about those times you were there but you weren't there. Jack the Happy Hammer said, try to introduce my dad to the mighty Dagenham and Redbridge and took him to a game. We had a couple of pints in the bar before the game. Ended up staying in there and watching the game on CCTV. Grainy black and white security camera.
Although I have watched Dagenham and Redbridge a few times in the last few years.
And you think that's the best way to
consume
them?
Probably the best way to watch it.
He said it was raining, after all, so that was his excuse.
Oh, there we are.
And we've also asked you, with the possibility, albeit a very, very unlikely one, that Manchester United and Manchester United, those were the days. Manchester City and Liverpool.
Remember them.
Could be contesting a playoff game to decide who wins the title if all the stars align with goal difference and goals scored and head-to-head results, etc. But it's never going to happen. And also, they've played enough football. Give them a break. Yeah. They've got a World Cup coming up. We need an alternative way to decide the title. You've been coming up with all sorts of ideas. Mm. What about a birthday spread? Says
yeah,
Mark,
I've had a few of those on my Twitter as well.
Who would
yeah.
be better? Who do you think would be better at that? I think the forensic nature of Pep, he's the sort of guy who could look at the birthdays one year and just remember them for the following
yeah.
year.
But so I think it's about Pep reading people, Paul. So I think Jürgen's a better a people man.
Okay.
So I think he'd be a bit better at it, you know. So
Lunchbox says, what about a penalty shootout? Five fans from each team selected in a ballot.
Wow.
So you have the City and Liverpool, they're on the pitch, and you say row 12, block 17, and it doesn't matter if you're 80 or you're 8.
And it's little Jaden, who's 6.
Yeah.
Has
to come out and
take the pen.
And that's the luck. Five City, five Liverpool. That's quite a nice idea.
Nice idea. At least number of lineup changes, Daz suggests.
That's a bit serious, isn't it, really? I mean, dull way to decide. Let's have a look. Oh, they've changed less players. They're the winners of the trophy. Also, being there but not there, TalkSport's very own Alan Brazil, were reminded by Dave in Newcastle, went to Moscow to watch the Champions League final, ended up watching it in a hotel bar. Why do you sound so surprised, Dave?
He didn't want to go.
Yeah, at least he went that time.
Exactly,
I've got other examples where he doesn't actually get to the country where the game's on. Despite having a ticket for that match.
But also go and see him live with Ray Parler.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on a national
tour. That may well be one of the stories involving watching a World Cup final from a bar. Sabutio, winner takes all, says Joseph.
Wow.
Old style Western shootout with paintball guns.
We'd all want to see that.
Nathan Duggan.
In the woods or on the pitch?
The TV, in the woods. Do you think it's like a sort of paintball thing? They're out in the woods.
In the woods, yeah. And then, and then they film it.
They sort of come together.
Yeah, it'd be lovely, wouldn't
it? Cameraman on each one. GoPros.
Yeah.
I'm sure both managers will be up for most of these. I can't see,
that,
why they wouldn't be. Kabaddi for a playoff, says Andy from Aberdeen.
Yes,
what a nice idea.
Nice idea.
Musical chairs, says Keith and Brian.
That would be good.
With two people.
Middle of the pitch, Paul.
Yeah, wouldn't last very long, would it?
No, chairs all the way down the middle of the pitch. Full squads.
Oh, okay. You mean the whole squad's not just Pep and...
Lovely. And they play... First they play, You'll Never Walk Alone, when the music stops on that.
Yeah.
No, it's lovely, isn't it?
If Alan Harlow was in charge of
Blue Moon, if
Alan was in charge of the Premier League and he said, we've decided not to have a playoff. We're going to do it with Kaplunk. Just the look on their faces. The look on the faces of those two when they were told they would decide the title with Kaplunk.
Reach Germany? I don't know if it was an international game.
I think it was. It was huge.
Kaplunk.
So keep those coming. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Staying with Jürgen Klopp.
Oh, yeah.
He turned up a training in his Bentley. Why shouldn't he treat himself?
I say he shouldn't, because he's sponsored by Opel.
Well, he has an Opel.
Oh, okay.
He has an Opel insignia.
Okay. This is a Vauxhall, isn't it?
That he also has.
Rep's car, isn't it? Rep's car.
Well, I've mentioned before, when I worked at Chelsea, most of the players, I saw a little alpha spider that Robbie Di Matteo had. Most of the players had nice cars, as you can imagine. But one of them had a Bentley, and I think the first day he drove it, he managed to hit a tree. Mm. Yeah. Not used. I mean, he was all right, but it was just... You know.
No good.
Not great. Should have bought a slower car.
Who was that massive French rugby player, second row, Sebastian, was it Chabal?
Oh, yeah.
Remember him, about 6'9".
Yeah.
He used to drive a smart car.
Did he really?
Yeah, big man in small cars. Not a lot funnier.
Franco Zola, a lovely man.
Okay.
They had a deal with Vauxhall at Chelsea, and he'd just come over, and he might have been here for a while, but he decided... That the senator that was bigger than the Cavalier?
Oh, really?
Which
right.
was like quite
spent
a flash,
out a bit, had he?
Quite a flash saloon.
Yeah.
I think
he'd
it
gone
was.
For that one. Very,
and he
very
went,
nice.
It was quite a nice saloon. But he'd come in to the club sometimes and it did look like he was a rep. he'd have his jacket hanging in the back, Frank, and he'd have
some carpet samples.
Yeah, carpet samples. And then after training, he'd go and sit in a lay by with an apple and a garage sandwich reading the paper.
Yeah.
But he probably didn't do any of those.
He didn't. I don't know.
But it would have been a nice touch. Had
some
he done
basic
it.
Advice we were going to do, weren't we, Paul?
Oh, yeah.
I know we were going to do.
This is
earlier on.
This is Soufal, isn't it, of West Ham.
Yeah.
He was saying that the advice they've been given by David Moyes...
Yeah. Soufal has revealed West Ham's simple tactic to get the best out of star forward Jared Bowen was just give him the ball.
Well, look, you know,
get it to Jared.
It's a simple game. Remember the famous Harry Redknapp with Roman Pavlyuchenko? You know, just go out there and run about a bit. I've paraphrased that. That's what he told
run
him.
About a bit.
That's what Harry said to him, just go out there, Pav, and just run about a bit. And to be honest, that wasn't his strength as a player, running about a bit or running about at all, to be honest.
So we'll take some basic advice.
If you've been offered advice quite as basic as that, maybe in a new job, maybe the first day in bomb disposal, not ideal, is it really?
Just cut the
wire. Go cut the, all I can tell you is you've got to cut the... Just don't cut the wrong ones. If you take nothing away from day one, take the manual home, have a read tonight. But I reckon you'll be fine tomorrow.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on TalkSport. Making a welcome return to the show now is comedian and prankster.
Yeah.
He's very much in comedian mode while he's on tour. Been bringing some very good reviews of his tour.
Yeah, he's very good stand-up.
People enjoying himself.
Yeah.
Simon Brodkin's back. Good afternoon, Simon.
Hey, Simon.
Hey. Hello, how you doing, guys?
Yeah, very good, Simon. Well. Yeah, said it seems to be going down well, the tour, at the moment.
Yeah.
Tour's going down a treat, but you are, I mean, talk about the bandwagon. I've only got four more dates to go. This is reminding me of what people say to me when I tell them I'm a Manchester City fan. Like, where were you?
Well, we've had you on before, I think, talking about it.
Yeah, I think we did at the start of the tour.
To be fair, you guys have been big, big lovers of me, my work, my pranks, and my tour. So, yeah, go on then. Have a couple of free tickets.
Yeah. Well, you're in Manchester tonight, is that right?
Yeah, Manchester tonight, then Bristol, Swindon, London, and then bad news for my wife.
You're coming home. You're coming.
Has this been a split tour, Simon? Have you been on and off, or has this just gone all the way through?
COVID. Don't know whether you guys have heard of it on TalkSport. I know you focus mainly on
we brushed over it. We just concentrated on the championship and the battle for the top.
Well,
really.
I love the way the one thing that was left pretty much unaffected of everything that happened in the UK, it was like, we have to get the Premier League back up and running.
Yeah,
everyone needs
it. The whole country in tatters and were like, we need to give the people football, otherwise they're going to riot.
Yeah, well, there could be something in that. The tour's called Troublemaker, and I think it's stand up, but you touch on the scrapes you've got into, haven't you, during those years of high profile pranks?
Absolutely. There's people want to know about them, and I talk about them. I talk about the Trump one. I talk about the the SEP one. I'm just writing my brand new show. So you're coming to the end of the Troublemaker tour, and I'm about to launch a new Edinburgh show at the Edinburgh Festival, which I'm going to be talking about the SEP stunt, and which obviously is probably one of the most known for, where Chuck the Money over SEP, I'm dragged out the room 2 minutes later. SEP is stood next to me. He abandoned the press conference. I didn't know this. I think that was because there were my notes all over the floor, and he was like, I cannot resist taking these, and just scarped out the room. And so it was insane because we're stood there outside this press conference it was like two naughty school children, basically, who've both been kicked out of class. You know, one of them for chucking something, the other one for fraud, bribery and money laundering. And the best bit was, he says to me, he looks at me, he says, you should be ashamed of yourself. Wow.
Said straight back at you, mate.
Exactly. Well, I was just thinking, yeah, well, let's see who ends up in prison, mate. Right. And unfortunately, it was me.
Okay. We were saying earlier on, it would be great if it became a personal vendetta. Now Sepp's got a bit of time on his hands, and he comes to the Swindon Arts Centre on the 15th of May, sits in the first row, goes, not funny. Because, and he was there every night of the tour. Heard it. He's just heckling for the whole show.
But if he tried to come on stage, I think I'd need to give him some assistance now. He's getting on a bit, isn't he? But let's be honest, he wouldn't, because he'd have to fork out with his own money, because I'm not giving him a freebie. But him, Theresa May, Donald Trump just sat there hurling abuse at me. It'll be all right, actually. It'll be all right. So, yeah, the Troublemaker Tour has been pretty epic. Four more shows. Look, this is my first tour that I've done out of characters. Yeah. People obviously know me for Lee, especially, you know, for Jason Benz, who's made a few appearances on your show.
He certainly has.
he set up 17 different companies that apparently existed before COVID. So he is he's doing well from the government handouts, says Jason Benz.
Some of the stunts you've pulled in football, trying to get on the plane with the England players, rocking up in a suit.
Are you a marked man now, Lee?
You've warmed up a couple of times with teams, haven't you? Pulled the kit on. I mean, I think you must have lots and lots of different institutions questioning the quality of their security when you manage to pull these things off.
The best was I was sent a picture by someone who was working at one of the big global heads of state meetings, you know, the G7, the G whatever, right? And and they sent me a photo of all the people who this security, like we're talking top security, have been told to look out for. And there are these pictures on the wall of these awful, terrible terrorists. And then there's this little picture of me.
No.
At the end, watch out for this small Jewish funny man.
You don't want to go anywhere where they've got snipers, ideally, do you? You don't want to, you know, anywhere
mate,
where...
I tell you what, I don't normally get scared when I do them. And there's probably something wrong with my brain because of that. But the one when I gave Theresa May the P45, I was pretty sure that I was going to take, a bullet somewhere, a karate chop somewhere, a rugby tackle. I thought that there would be this thing where if you get within a few, you know, centimetres of the Prime Minister, it's like a code 7. Instead, I gave her the P45. She took it, went, thank you very much, because she's clearly too nice to be a leader of a country. And then the security came along. I'm like, here we go. They ushered me back down into the floor of journalists to stay seated for the rest of the speech.
Wow.
And I'm sat there thinking, dude, I've sort of, my work here is done.
Yes.
So I'm not going to stay for the rest of the speech. I know it might be a little bit rude. And that's when I trundled off to Boris.
Gave him the thumbs up.
Thumbs up, the slap on that. I've just whacked up on my TikTok, actually. I didn't realise, right, because I hadn't seen this footage, and someone unearthed this footage. And I went over to Boris, slapped him on the thigh, said I was pretending to be this sort of Tory, one of the Tory minions, all in my shirt and blue tie and slicked hair. And I said, Boris, that couldn't have gone better. Absolutely marvellous. I gave it to her exactly as you wanted.
Yeah.
And he then mouths, I can't say it on Talk Sport at this time, he then mouths stupid, begins with T,
okay,
and rhymes and ends in...
we're with you. Tory.
Yeah, you're stupid Tory, exactly. So, which is now going to be on the quote for my new Edinburgh show.
Oh,
it's
lovely.
Got Scotsman hilarious and then Boris Johnson stupid, which is nice, you know,
and
nice touch.
Not getting a shoeing from security, I would imagine. There's been, I mean, looking at what happened with Dave Chappelle, the bloke trying to run on that stage the other day, I don't think he'll be doing that again.
He can scratch his own back now, that
bloke. He probably can. With Kanye at Glastonbury, I would imagine, you know, I get a feeling that the when you were dragged from the stage, they would have let you know you shouldn't have done that, or were they all very polite?
It was classic Glastonbury. It was amazing. Most of the places, after you get arrested, they are not very happy that their security has been breached.
Hmm.
After I joined Kanye West on stage at Glastonbury, which are hundreds of thousands is the Pyramid stage? I don't know. Anyway, my tour... that's still a record attendance for me being on stage. And I was dragged away and the Glastonbury head of security comes along and I'm about to get, I don't know what, because it was just me and him and I thought he can do anything here. He can give me a proper kicking. He can give me a cheeky slap. He can ban me for life. Don't do that again, Simon.
Oh, that's great.
Simon, what top tips would you give for anyone who wants to get into being a prankster?
I'd say don't do it.
Is it just confidence, pure confidence?
Confidence, gahoonies, planning. Don't tell your worried mother because she'll just give you more angst than you can deal with. She's often on the phone going, you know what? I don't want to know what you're up to, Simon. Just don't tell me. Go for it. I mean, the Kanye West one was a classic, got turned away a few times thinking this isn't going to happen. And then on the, the fourth attempt, I just bowled in holding a little toy microphone that I'd bought from Asda a few days before. I kid you not. Went up to the lot, bowled over, went up, got past all the outer layers, got the inner layer of security, and they're like, what are you doing, mate? And I said, I'm about to be on stage, you idiot. Lifted their hands up and on I went.
And I like, what I love about it is the really uncool dance you do. You're like Stu Francis in Panto. You skip on in a really uncool way, Simon. I think that was the plan.
First of all, that's actually the coolest dance I've ever done. I was pretty excited to be on. I was expecting Kanye to have backing singers, bands, because I hadn't actually been around the front. I'd just been around the back, so I had no idea. Someone headlines Glastonbury. You're thinking they're going to be there with the bands and the singers and the backing. So I'm running through thinking, okay, where is he? but it was just Mr. Kanye and Mr. Brodkin on stage together. And unfortunately, he didn't have the sense of humour. And I was expecting a bit of a rap, a bit of a duet, especially once to see my dancing. But he ended it. Get a slap from him.
Simon, always good to talk to you. Best of luck with the rest of the tour.
Cheers,
those last
Simon.
Few dates, people can go and hear more of these stories on the tour. Still to play Manchester, Bristol, I see Swindon and London
as well. London. Go simonbrodkin.com, get tickets, and edfringe.com for my brand new Edinburgh show. This is the first time we've mentioned that on air. So there we go, a little exclusive for you fellas.
Lovely
always
stuff.
Great talking to you.
Cheers, Simon.
Cheers,
all the best.
Simon. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Here we are. Simon Brodkin, a troublemaker. His tour coming to an end. But you need some cojones is to do that, don't you? So, I mean, he's talked us through a few of those. It's scary.
Tried
stuff.
To get in places now and again, but I've never tried to do anything like that, you know.
Yeah.
I tried to get in the pit lane of Le Mans once. Just because I had a Ferrari shirt on. Drink had been taken, Paul.
Just the Ferrari shirt. You probably weren't the only one in a Ferrari shirt.
No, but I did try and get in.
It's just front. If you look confident in those situations.
They always say carry a clipboard, wear a high vis, you get in anywhere.
Really?
They always say that. But, you know.
Okay.
I think I'd drunk too much, to be honest, to try and pull it off.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
The title's got to be decided, and it could be decided with a playoff, potentially. That's too much football to play. When you've played a whole season, you don't need to play another game. You need an alternative method of deciding if everything tallies, goal difference, points, goals scored, head-to-head records. Mm-hmm. We need other options. Pep and Jürgen do the BBC Superstars competition, KJ in London. Archery, cycling, be tremendous, wouldn't it? We'd all watch that.
An alternative, that someone else has said, I can't find it at the moment, but it says... We know it used to be with indoor league.
Love
to see Klopp and Pep fighting out with a full round of the indoor league.
Yeah.
Love to see Pep playing shove penny or Jürgen tries his hand at bar billiards. It was good. Indoor league.
As I said,
proper board, mind. Yorkshire board.
Fred no longer with us, so we'd have to get Goffey in to present it.
Yes.
I tell you, this came up in... I did quickly Kevin Willey score. The podcast for Josh Whittacombe and Chris Skull, their 90s football podcast. Yeah. And
I'd imagine you the ideal guest for that, Paul.
But it was fun. We talked a bit about the magazine. I sort of co-edited 90 Minutes and then... different things and a bit of fantasy football and a few yarns from that. And indoor league did come up.
Did it?
Because, for the kids listening, this was a TV show invented by the late, great Sid Waddell that Yorkshire TV did. And fiery Fred Truman, one of the greatest fast bowlers of all time, was the host. He would do it in a jumper. He'd wander on with a pint of bitter with his pipe and he'd say, "Now then." And it was half an hour of pub games.
Yeah.
That were, and it was a TV show that, I mean, Chris Cole was saying on the podcast that we thought this was something that went out 10, 11 o'clock at night. You know, bloke smoking a pint, a bit there, pub games. It went out at lunchtime. Yeah, it was a TV lovely. Show that went out at 1:30. It was daytime TV, 1:30 in the afternoon. Yeah.
I've only ever seen my friend had a DVD of the whole thing. You can get
it's a joy. There's only five episodes because we raided what was left in the... Because most of those tapes got recorded over.
Yeah.
So there was only about five or six episodes left at Yorkshire TV. We got them all for fantasy football, and it was just a joy to plough through them again.
Did they do the one where you swing the ball on the?
It was obviously Sid's involvement in darts, but it was probably one of the first times that darts was seen by that kind of audience. Yeah. You know, and it got bigger and bigger from that point on. You know,
I love those pub games. There's a pub near me, and they have
down in the West Country.
They have a hook on the wall.
Yeah. And well, that's a bit worrying.
I have a hook on the wall, and on one of the beams, they have hung a bit of string with a ring on the end.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to swing it and try and land the ring on the hook.
Okay.
Oh, that's a great game, Paul.
Is it good? It sounds a bit dangerous in a packed pub, a big metal ring swinging about.
Sort of for a quiet lunchtime. I'd tell you, it's a brilliant game.
We did a show down in Somerset, myself and Andy. It was a completely bizarre show. It was when E.ON were the sponsors of the FA Cup.
Oh, right.
And it was a competition winner was to have a show broadcast from your house.
Oh, nice.
And it was down in Somerset.
Yeah.
And the guy that won it, and it was brilliant. He was a really good lad. He took us for a few pints in his local the night before. We went down the night before.
Yeah.
And they had the full... Had the full, what do you call it?
Skittle Alley.
Skittles. Proper old school.
Because they're not all there anymore, you see, because they know they have to make money out of food now. So they put food in them. But
been there for hundreds of years.
Proper Skittle Alley. Aunt Sally, ever played that?
What's Aunt Sally?
Aunt Sally, you throw a stick, like a cricket stump, at another stick that's balanced on top of a stick.
Right, okay. You made your own entertainment down in Torquay.
This is an Oxfordshire game, Aunt Sally, and you have to knock the, it's like a wooden doll, cleanly off the top of the stump.
That's like the idea that there's people lobbing metal rings and sticks around in pubs all over Oxfordshire.
You've had a few pints. Do you want to come and throw a stick? Yes!
Of course I do. It involves Neville Southall in this bloke's garden saving penalties, which he did every time. Ridiculously good.
Didn't let one in.
Pat Nevin joined. It was just a mad day. Just a mad day of day. In a show from a bloke's garden. Anyway, those were the days.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rock, paper, scissors. Lee, the Leeds fan. Yeah, I think we need something a bit more dramatic than that. To decide the title. When were you there but not really there? Phil Thomas has been in touch, the sports writer for Sun. Good afternoon, Phil. We were all at the Old Trafford fourth test in Botham's Ashes series in 81, and Chris Tavray was lovely. Boring everyone rigid. Two of our crowd went to the bar to get the round in, and when Brearley was out, meaning Botham came in, the bar emptied. Our mates made the most of how easy it had become to get served to such an extent that Botham had hit a ton and was out by the time they reappeared with the drinks. That's fantastic.
Fantastic.
I mean, a lot of examples of what you miss out on.
Miss the greatest innings of all time, you know. Yeah.
Steve, the Liverpool fan, said, I went to the League Cup final, hospitality, watched the game in the seats next to the Royal Box, watched the penalties, thinking the trophy lift was on the pitch. We went back to eat the full-time pies, realised too late that Liverpool walked straight past our seats.
So we
watched it on the screens. When were you there and not there? Charlie turned up late for cabaret and had to kind of watch the first part of the show on a telly outside.
The song Cabaret.
The song Cabaret. Missed that.
Vilcommen. Not Cabaret, Vilcommen.
Not acted out for him by one of the ushers, which is a great shame.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Here we go.
Any lyrics?
No lyrics.
Indoor league.
Although you say that on fantasy football, when we play, Jeff did come out and sing. Jeff Astley did come out and go indoor league.
Oh yeah.
La 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 la.
Well, that's how they used to write the Sweeney. The Sweeney.
Yeah.
Coronation Street.
Thank you very much, Charlie.
And that's how they used to do it.
Charlie Baker sings the lyricless songs. That could be a show, Charlie.
What a lovely show. If anyone's got any requests other than Get Off.
Okay, yeah. if there's other songs that don't have lyrics, Emma Delfarm, Emma Delfarm. Suppose that proves the point. Emma Delfarm, Emma Delfarm.
Casualty.
No, it's not. It stopped. That's really irritating both of us. Mind the listeners.
Dragged you down there.
Yeah, I just sucked into your vortex. But what a theme tune.
Wow, yeah.
Hoary old organ sound.
Huge theme tune, with them like, being a now then.
It's a sort of organ sound. You get a Leslie Speaker, and Fred has constantly been emptying his pipe into the back of it. Yeah. And that's the sound you get.
Yeah, beautiful.
Anyway, on to more important matters. And I think we were all shocked and stunned when Diego Maradona's shirt from the Hand of God game in 86, which was swapped with Steve Hodge, the England midfielder, after the game, went for £7 million. Yeah. I remember speaking to Steve back in 1998, and we were chatting about that shirt. And he said, a few people have said to me, it could go as much as £250,000. Yeah. I'm thinking, wow, that's a lot of money. Little did we know. Now
I'd have liked. Have you seen this train guy? The train guy. He has the camera on his face. I'd have liked one of those cameras on Steve Hodges' face as the gavel went down on £7 million.
Or if they played it, it'd be like the end of Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah.
Grand Bud Auctions have got another iconic football shirt, and we're just wondering whether the sale of that shirt has inflated the market or not. Here to tell us more about that is the man himself, Graham Budd. Good afternoon, Graham.
Hey, Graham.
Good afternoon.
Before we come on to your item, as somebody, a seasoned auctioneer who works in this area, could you quite believe it went for as much as that?
No. I mean, everybody in our industry was stunned as well, because I think the point is the previous world record for a football shirt was Pelé 1970 World Cup final, which is a pretty iconic occasion as well. And that made about 150,000. Okay, it was 10 or 12 years ago, but to jump from that sort of figure to 7 million is just absolutely extraordinary. I mean, when you think of records being broken, you think of the track and, you know, a few tenths of a second being shaved off or something, but to jump from 150,000 to 7 million just left us all stunned and amazed and wondering whether anything like that will be repeated again in our market. I mean, who knows? But it's difficult to think what it might be.
I was going to ask you, I mean, is it such an outlier? Have you spoken to other auctioneers or, as you say, people in your business thinking, look, it's a one-off. There's not going to be anything. It's not reset the tariff. It hasn't inflated the market. It's just a kind of crazy one-off.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I mean, I think managing actually some sellers' expectations is going to be our biggest challenge really going forward, you know, because I mean, I had an inquiry this week that somebody owns a Pelé jersey from his period in New York Cosmos in ASL. Yeah. And, you know, it's a lovely shirt, but I mean, and I quoted 2,000 to 3,000, which is a perfectly respectable and accurate quote. But I mean, the potential seller was, you could tell they were just so underwhelmed with the quote that I don't think we're going to be getting it, you know. And that, so I think, yeah, managing expectation is that. There will be some advantages. I think it will have a certain trickle-down effect, really. I mean, it's happened, it's there, and it really makes a statement about our market and how mature it's become and what wealthy collectors we have in it. So, you know, hopefully it will have also a positive effect and sort of bring the price up of everything else with it, you know.
In hoping the great Pelly is with us for a good long time to come, I mean, does it make a difference when you're selling these items sort of posthumously, much as Steve Hodge did?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand Steve's decision to, you know, to wait and everything. And yeah, I think with the serious memorabilia that does. Where it doesn't, there's a lot of sportsmen post-career, they spend half their time going to signings all the time. And they just, you know, I mean, Muhammad Ali was a figure in question. He would just sit down and sign like 100 gloves, you know, in a session. And so there's a lot of material like that out there. And what tended to happen after he passed away is that everybody had the same idea and put it all on the market all at the same time. And if anything, actually, it flooded the market and the price went down. Right. But that wouldn't be the case for something that's, you know, an absolutely iconic piece of you know, memorabilia from their career, that's for sure.
I suppose the mistake sometimes is to think what's important to you will be important to everybody else as well. As I've got a few Talk United bits that I know aren't worth anything to anybody else other than myself, but they mean a lot to me. Sure. So I suppose it's being honest with yourself about what's important, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I mean, we've all got cherished things. I mean, I've got the you know, the programme from the first football match I ever went to in 71. It's worth 50p probably, but, you know, to me, it's, yeah, it's my, you know, my favourite piece in the collection, really.
Now, you have an iconic shirt up for grabs. Mm. It's the Aguero shirt from the win against QPR, the dramatic goal, the number 16.
I don't think you said Aguero correctly there, Paul.
No.
There's another way you need to say it.
I can't attempt to intimidate Martin Tyler or imitate, not intimidate. I'd never do that either. No, he's a much bigger man than me.
Yeah.
The Aguero moment, the Kun Aguero shirt, the 16. I'm looking at it online at the moment. I mean, there was a piece in the paper saying it could go for $1 million. I mean, you're right. It says here the estimate is 20,000 to 30,000.
Yeah, I don't know quite where the million came from. I mean, it's 20,000 to 30,000. Obviously, we've had this in the pipeline for weeks and months, really, and way before Maradona. So we haven't changed the estimate. We don't intend to change the estimate. But in the end, it's the market that decides these prices. It's not the seller, it's not the auctioneer, it's the people bidding in the room. So we think that's a fair estimate for this, you know, really, really historic shirt. But it will be really interesting to see where it gets to on the day after events of last week. I mean, it certainly could raise expectation. That's absolutely for sure.
I'm not sure Noel Gallagher's listening. He's thinking, I mean, I would imagine it would go for more than that, even in isolation without the Maradona shirt. I mean, if you are a moneyed City fan, this is
it's those standout. Iconic moments, isn't it? And that because of many things, because of the commentary, because of the timing of the goal, because of who they beat to the title, all those things, it really is one of those moments, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's been a lot of interest in it, I take it, Graham.
Yeah, I mean, well, we've been live since Friday, and there's a lot of people that have registered and have got it on their watch list for the auction, and I'm hoping actually it might go a little bit beyond Man City supporters as well. I mean, it's such an iconic piece of English football history as well, you know, and I think there are collectors that take a broader approach to collecting, really, rather than just zooming in on their actual club. So hopefully, and there might be a bit of international interest, another Argentinian player, interestingly, of course, as well. So if anybody was the underbidder last week on that jersey, well, you've got another pop in our sale on the 24th of May.
And the money is going to charity, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is good. I'm glad we can make that point. Yeah, it is, actually. I mean, somebody who's in our industry, very dear to us, he's an expert on football shirts. He's been in poor health for a number of years. And the person who's selling it is going to going to be split, but it's going to be donated to him to help with his medical treatments. And then also two charities that have supported him, and he supported them during the illness, and that's testicular cancer, Czech and Lads. And also the Stroke Association. And when we heard about that, we actually decided that we would cancel our normal sellers auctioneers commission as well. So 100% of the sale proceeds will go to these very worthy causes. So that's a really good story. Yeah.
Well, to go and check out all the details of the shirt and all the other items in this 30 years of the Premier League and sporting memorabilia sales, grahambuddauctions.co.uk. They'll have all the details there. Good to talk to you again, Graham. Thanks a lot.
Graham.
Thank you very much.
Graham Budd Auctions there on the Kun Aguero shirt, the 16 shirt that he wore that day.
I sponsor my podcast, The National Obsession. We sponsor the Torquay United left-backs away shirt, Paul, which is always good fun every season.
Mm-hmm.
It's Dean Moxey. Remember Dean Moxey?
Yeah, remember that.
All sorts. Palace and Exeter City and all sorts, but big Torquay fan favourite now. And
you've been sent his shirt.
We get part of the deal is you get sent the shirt. So I got sent the shirt.
Is it a match?
They still got two games to play.
Is it? You might have to give it back.
So, but I'm assuming they're not going to wear the away shirt unless it was like a little sort of.
So it's one of his match worn ones.
It's a match worn one. Well, they only have one.
Oh, okay.
It's not, you know, we're not.
Don't throw them to the crowd every week.
They don't do that every week, you know, yeah. So, but washed. It is washed, Paul, yes.
Is it washed?
It's been washed.
Did you want it washed?
I think you should probably have it washed. Do you not think?
Not
what do you
really,
think?
Really? Not if it's match worn.
Now it's just a shirt, you think, yeah?
I think so. And I mean,
I don't think I want it.
There was the thing about the Maradona shirt. There was kind of signs of a bit of sweat stainage and stuff in place.
To be honest, you know, I don't think I want that. You know, I'm happy to have the shirt and to support the club in that sort of way. But
you
if you
don't
can,
want,
I would
you don't
highly
want
recommend it.
Dean Moxey.
I don't think Dean Moxey would want Dean Moxey on his shirt. I don't know, but well,
I don't know. I think it gives it the author a bit of mud, bit of Vic.
Good,
it gives it the authentic. Yeah. Makes it feel authentic, doesn't it?
Good footballer, a bit too small. I can't wear it though, Paul, because he's a medium.
Ah, well, it'll fit your coat.
It'll fit John. Yeah, it'll fit John. Yeah, Cadigan. So yeah, but then I'd have to give it to him, and I want to keep it.
Okay,
so now it's just how it is. There it is. Just how it is, isn't it? I'll get it framed.
Yeah,
get it framed. I won't get it framed. I've got hundreds of them.
Yeah.
I've been saying that for one. We got when I had last year, our left back didn't play.
Oh, really?
Match unworn.
A match unworn shirt. Unworn he never shirt. Got a game.
Never got a game.
You're right, Jonah.
There we are.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Quite a few theme tunes you want Charlie Baker to sing, surprisingly.
I feel like I've opened Pandora's box here.
You probably have. Anyway,
dug myself a hole.
Before we just want to do one before we do this. we mentioned earlier. Well, why did we get into this?
I don't know.
Indoor league. There was no words
that was
to it.
No words.
And we mentioned that. Worked. You know, when we did fantasy.
The Sweeney is the classic one. The Sweeney.
You have an expectation. That's what the words
yeah,
are.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the listeners wanted you to do match of the day.
Oh yeah. Maybe. Match of the day. Match of the day. Match of the day. Match of the day. Match. Of the day match of the day.
Yes, nearly. I mean, it sort of works. Yeah, yeah. They've never
quite said, hard, actually.
Considering how long it's been around, they've never put any lyrics to it,
that'd
have
be
they?
Lovely,
someone
it?
Must have tried.
You know.
That was the thing with Anyone Can Fall in Love by Anita Dobson.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
Why didn't she just come on and go, EastEnders? We would have preferred that, wouldn't we?
Yeah, it's her birthday this week, Paul, so she might turn up in the spread Thursday. You never know.
Good.
I don't know how old she is.
Okay. Well, look, you are listening to TalkSport, by the way.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
US sports writer Rick Riley has written extensively about golf, and he is back doing that once again with a lovely book. It's a kind of collection of writing, all different manner of stories from the sport he loves. It's called So Help Me Golf, Why We Love the Game. And delight to say Rick joins us now. Good afternoon, Rick.
Good afternoon, Rick.
And the best thing about this is there's no Trump stories.
that's very true. Actually, we're going to come back to that in a minute because we've not talked to you since the hole in one. But let's talk about the book. And it's interesting because you do love golf, clearly. You've played it around the world with lots of great players, lots of great celebs, etc., and presidents. But also, it comes from a darkish place. The first chapter really tells a story of all the reasons why you shouldn't love golf.
Yeah, I hated golf as a kid because my dad was a drunk golfer and violent. And so when he came up that sidewalk still wearing his spikes, that was that terrible clicking sound that you hear sometimes. And that meant, oh man, we were in trouble because he was so drunk he forgot to take off his spikes, which means somebody was going to get it and we'd all have to hide, you know. And so I blamed golf for the hell that was my house until I went to the range with my friends at about 11 years old and like, oh, this game is actually beautiful. not golf's fault, it's my dad's fault. And so right then I fell in love with not just the game itself, but all the stories you tell each other and the stories you hear and caddies and giving your friends crap and going around the world. I talked Sports Illustrated once into going around the world. And by the way, for flat earthers, I went east the whole time and still came once around the world. But they never ran it. We got too busy. I never got a chance to write it. So that's in here, the most unforgettable holes in the world.
Mm.
And one of them is in La Hinch. Have you ever played La Hinch?
No.
Well, La Hinch is in Ireland, and it has... It's maybe the only blind par three I've ever heard of. You can't see the green. There's a hill in front of you, and a little guy puts a white rock where you're supposed to aim.
Yeah.
And one day in the early 2000s, four guys made holes in one on this blind par three. And so the bar was going crazy. It was the greatest day in the bartender's life. All the townspeople were in there getting free drinks. The caddies snuck in. It was the greatest day. And the waitress is having the greatest day of her life until the bartender's wife comes in. She's holding the ear of her six-year-old boy. She marches him back behind the bar and says to the boy, "You tell your da what you've been doing today, you rascal." And the little boy goes, "I've been putting balls in the little hole."
Oh, fantastic.
There's a few touchstones in there, Rick, that people will recognise. You talked about going to the range and that thing of suddenly everybody's trying to aim for the holes. Everybody's trying to improve their game until the ball collection tractor comes out, till the picker comes out, when suddenly that's the only target in town, isn't it, really?
I don't know why that is, but it's irresistible. Suddenly, you're trying to hit these knockdown four irons into the guy's cage. And I found that out because I spent a day driving one of those stupid things. And really, I kind of feel like I've had to go to therapy extra because it's so loud in there and you just want to break down in tears and guys are purposely trying to hit you. And then, so I pulled up in front of this guy that had hit me twice. I'm like, hey, you're trying to kill me? He goes, oh, sorry, man. I topped a few towards you.
Yeah.
And you also play different. I mean, you play a bit of, there's a mini golf. We're funny, we were talking to a guy yesterday who spent £50,000 traveling around the world playing mini golf. And he'd not been to Myrtle Beach, which I think that's a big missing part because you did play there, which is seemed to be the home of crazy golf when I went there.
Myrtle Beach is sort of America's classless tourist town.
Yeah.
And there's mini golf everywhere. There's giant volcanoes and 50-foot high gorillas and crashing helicopters. And you putt through all this stuff and you eat a Hot Pocket. And I tried to play as many golf mini holes as I could in a day. I think I played 294. I can't even remember how many. And what I found out, because I talked to a guy who was the world mini golf masters champion. He even got like a sick green members only jacket for winning. And he said, dye your putts. He says, when you hit a putt slowly, the hole gets way bigger and balls drop in. And so I've been trying to putt that way where you dye it near the hole. And he's right. It's actually helped my game.
Well, great tip. Works. Rick, actually. The place we go on holiday has a selection of books there. Mm. The selection of books don't often change, you know. And the only book I've read over and over again is Who's Your Caddy by yourself, Rick, and your excellent holiday company, I will say that.
Did you? I hope you didn't read the John Daly chapter.
I read the whole thing, yeah.
Anywhere near a meal, because with Daly, he's addicted to everything, right?
Yeah.
Gambling, tranquilizers, alcohol, cigarettes, Diet Coke, and he's so we're driving. His real caddy's driving. He's in the front seat. We all have these giant Diet Cokes from McDonald's, you know, supersized, because Daly has to have it like every two or three hours, and the caddy. The caddy's looking at something off to the side, and Daly switches, takes his empty cup, pees into it, puts it back in hopes that the caddy takes a sip of his now warm, not Diet Coke.
Yeah.
This is the charm school that Daly went to.
Now, we haven't spoken to you since the Donald's hole in one, and I'd love to get your take on it because he seemed more bothered. I mean, to put out upon a press statement that it was a real hole in one was classic him, I would imagine.
Well, did you read the press statement?
Yes, I did. Yeah, yeah.
it sounded like he had single-handedly won, you know, the Battle of Iwo Jima. It was like the ball took off in a majestic arc, and my friends oohed and awed as it made its way inexorably. Someone spelled that for him into the hole. So I don't know. People don't know this maybe, but I wrote an entire book about how Trump lies, cheats, bullies, and is completely full of crap about his golf. Like, he says he's a 2.8 handicap, and I've played with him, and he's about a 10. So if he's a 2.8, Queen Elizabeth can pole vault, you know what I mean? There's no way. And, you know, and we found this out in the book, he insists his caddies carry 4-inch green tees in their pockets so that when he's in the rough away from the other players, they can tee it up for him.
He tees
it up in the rough. There's a special circle of hell for a guy that cheats his friends, which he does all the time. So when I read about the hole-in-one, people asked me, do you believe it? I said, well, Ernie Els wouldn't lie, because Ernie Els was playing with him, one of the great golfers of all time. But Dutch, when I was with him, he took about 11 mulligans in one day. Right. Took a gimme chip in. So my question is, okay, he hit it in the hole. How many mulligans did he take on that tee box?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Well, Rick, we love the book, as always. It's lovely to talk to you again. We'll catch up with you soon. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Always fun.
Thanks a lot.
Rick Riley's book, So Help Me Golf. It is really fun. It's a great collection of stories. little kind of yarns, kind of just war stories from his past as a journalist working in golf. There's a brilliant story of...
You can guys, hear it in his voice. He's great company, isn't he? And he writes like that, doesn't he? Brilliant.
Guys playing golf in a prisoner of war camp in World War II, an 11-year-old playing with Tiger and getting a hole in one. It is brilliant. I mean, it's kind of one of those books that transcends the sport, really. They're just great stories. It'll help if you like your golf. So we do recommend it. Rick Riley, So Help Me Golf, Why We Love the Game. And it's out today.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. We'll do it all again tomorrow with Andy. You're back on Thursday,
back
Charlie.
Back on Thursday. We're having a spread Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Got to try and hit back after last week.
That's right, yeah. It was. I mean, Max Rushton, he gets in touch. He listens, doesn't he, every week. Keeps his hand in. And he thought it was a game for the ages. It was like a proper game of chess.
I was a little suspect last week that you got it on. You're in the room with Andy, and you got it on the nail for the winner. That just felt a little bit.
If you think I'm a cheat, you just should come out and say it.
You're a cheat.
Just come out and say it, Charlie.
Then it was shady.
So thanks for your company, or you didn't join us, did you? This is the podcast, but thanks for listening to the podcast anyway. That was good of you. You actually put in more effort than the radio.
Yeah. I mean, anybody
put a radio on. But you actually went out your way to download it. All right, thank you for listening. And we'll be doing it all again tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.